Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we wish to continue in our new series of studies, Living the Supernatural Life. And I think probably we would say that the supernatural life is the spiritual life, and that's exactly what we mean to say. It is the spiritual life. On our last broadcast, we mentioned the fact that we are composed of body, soul, and spirit. We are a trinity. Now, the soul and the spirit is the real you and me. Our bodies are just accessories. We give the body so much attention, but the soul and the spirit is the important part of us. Now, the soul gives us world consciousness, and the spirit gives us God consciousness. And that spirit gives us that God consciousness. And God gave us our intelligence, He gave us our souls and our spirits, and He can appeal to that and help us to live the spiritual, the supernatural life. Now, how does He do it? Well, we're going to introduce the subject today. God speaks to us through His Word. He gives us life through His Word. He strengthens us through His Word. He comforts us through His Word. He leads us. He guides us through His Word. The Word of God is so important in our lives. And we want to realize that. And we want to concentrate in this area of our lives. The natural life that we live oftentimes just takes precedence over the spiritual life that we live in. And it shouldn't be that way. Now, I don't mean that we should neglect the fact that we're in this world. And we're a part of this world. We have responsibilities in this world. If I'm a machinist, I'd better pay attention to my business, or I'll get all wound up with my work. If I'm a farmer, I should do the same thing. He has a dangerous occupation. No, it is not the neglecting of our responsibilities in the world that we're talking about. It's in emphasizing the responsibility of our lives in our godly connection in our spiritual lives. That's where we want the emphasis to be. Now, I think if we are spiritual in our lives, in touch with God, subject to Him, listening to His Word, we're going to live our worldly lives in a better fashion and in much greater efficiency. We will be better people besides being better Christians. All right, let's go on and see something about the Word of God and its effect in our lives. I want to talk just a little bit about the power of God in creation. He spoke and created the heavens. In Psalm 33, verse 6, we read, By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and the host of them by the breath of His mouth. Let's read that again, please. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and the host of them by the breath of His mouth. We also read in Hebrews 11, verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Paul, in writing to the Hebrews, goes right along with the Psalms. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. He made the worlds out of nothing. How did He do it? He did it by His Word. The power of the Word of God. He spoke and it became. Let there be light and there was light. Let there be a firmament and there was a firmament. God speaks and creation begins. Now, we don't want to spend too much time on creation. Let's talk about the power of the Word of God in the matter of our conviction. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God and convicts us. He uses the Word in that process. We read in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now this statement was made exactly 120 years before the flood came. The Spirit of God strove with man. Did he have great success? No. How many people went into the ark? How many people were saved from that antediluvian world? Eight people. Isn't that tragic? I wonder today. The Spirit of God is using the Word of God. Is He convicting people? That's what He's here for. We read in John chapter 16, the Lord Jesus says there, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away." The Lord is just about to leave His disciples. "But for if I go not away, the Comforter," that's capital C, the Spirit of God, "will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He has come, He will reprove," the better word is convict. "He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father, and you see Me no more. All My claims to be the Son of God will be verified at My resurrection. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged, Satan is judged." Now here we have the world, the Spirit of God, comforting His people and convicting the unsaved. He convicts us. That was His first ministry to you and me, was to convict us of our need of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the greatest sin we can possibly commit is to reject Christ. All right, now we've talked about the power of God in creation and conviction. Let's talk about the power of God in our conversion. We read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, these words, "Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth," what is the truth? It's the Word of God. "Seeing ye have obeyed," purified your souls and obeying the truth, "through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." When we believe the story of our Lord Jesus Christ presented in the Word of God, that He died on the cross for your sins and for my sins, when we believe that wonderful story of the love of God in giving His Son for you and for me, when we believe His Word, the Spirit of God brought the life of Christ to you and to me, and we were born into God's family. To be in heaven, you've got to be born into God's family. We were born into this world by our natural parents, but we, if we go to heaven at all, we must be born again, as we read in John chapter 3. Ye must be born again. Ye must be born into God's family. And when we placed our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, gave us life. Just as Peter says there in verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So this is the power of the Word of God in our conversion. The Spirit and the Word working together to give us spiritual life. Now this equips us to live the spiritual life, the supernatural life. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when He was here, said, I am come to give you life, and that more abundantly. John chapter 10. And He came to give us eternal life, and that eternal life, that spiritual life, is the more abundant life. Let's be sure that we are conscious of God and in fellowshipping with Him and enjoying that spiritual life and giving it precedence over the natural life. Oh, the body makes such demands upon us, and the things of time and sense seem so important. I think of the words of the Apostle Paul in the 2 Corinthian Epistle, chapter 4, verse 18. And this could well be a theme verse for this series of meetings. Now listen to this paradox, please. He puts it in the form of a paradox. Paul says, "While we look," you Corinthians and me, "while we look not at the things which are seen," how do you go about looking at things that are not seen? You do it in the Spirit. We know that God is there. We know He's listening. How do we know that? Can we see Him? No. The atheist would say, "Can you see Him?" He'd stand up and say, raise his fist and say, "I'll fight with God." Can he see Him? No, he can't see Him. But I'll tell you, He's there. "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Now, while we look at them, while we concentrate on them, while we give them thought, while we give them place in our lives, these are the things that count. This is life at its best, living the spiritual life, and living it how? Through the power of the Word of God in our lives. Oh, how we should thank God for the Bible. Now, in this life, and in this power of God to help us, He guides us through His Word. Listen to Psalm 119 and 105. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a guide unto my path. What is it? The Word of God guides us. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. How? Through His Word. All right? He comforts us through the Word. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, we read there, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, the Word of God, might have hope. All right? He teaches us through the Word. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9 and 13. We can't expound this and to any degree at all, but the Spirit of God is our teacher. We know the things of God because the author has explained the book. The author of the Word of God is, according to 1 Peter or 2 Peter chapter 2 or chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, he is the author of this book. Now, he uses human instrumentality to write it down, but he gave them the words. They were inspired. And the Word of God is the product of the Spirit of God. Now, He teaches us through that Word. And then He strengthens us through His Word. How words can give strength? Oh, the right words spoken at the right time. Oh, aren't they lovely? And they give us strength. Listen to Psalm 119, verse 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Have you ever had the experience? My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. We need the word of God to strengthen us. And then he strengthens us according to Isaiah 41 and 10 in a different way. He's telling his people Israel there, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. How does he do it? Through his word. Oh, blessed Bible. What a treasure. Our Father, we do thank you today that we are so well equipped to live the spiritual life, the supernatural life. And we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks. Amen.